Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us. Hope you've been with us all week. If not, don't forget we do this each weekday at 11 a.m. here on the Big X Sports Radio. Fridays are a busy day. We obviously have our show here at 11 o'clock. The podcast will be available later this afternoon. The show replays each day at 3 o'clock. But also on Friday, we have Kentuckiana Football Friday starting at 6 o'clock tonight. An hour-long kickoff show. We'll preview big games on both sides of the river tonight in that special program. Then our play-by-play coverage tonight. We've got two feature games of the evening. One is a local game with two local teams, Silver Creek and Providence. It's become a rivalry game, obviously two schools just down the road from each other. Providence looks to pick up its first win of the season after playing some big schools, 5A New Albany, 5A Floyd Central, and weeks one and two. Silver Creek obviously had an opening season week one win against Charlestown. They, too, are looking to get back in the win column tonight. That'll be one of the games we'll be paying a lot of attention to. We'll have a crew there for updates consistently throughout the night. The other game, Jeffersonville and Bedford North Lawrence, a Hoosier Hills Conference game. Not an easy game for Jeffersonville, who is still looking for their first win of the season. Bedford coming off a big win over Bloomington North, and they will be a challenge for sure for Jeffersonville. Those are our two feature games, but we'll be paying attention to everything going on in Clark and Floyd County and across southern Indiana. And when all the scores go final tonight, we have our scoreboard show that begins after all the games, and we'll highlight the scores, highlights, results, interviews with coaches and media from both sides of the river. The scoreboard show also on 93.9 The Ville, so look forward to having you with us. Even if you're at a game, you should listen. We're going to have scores and constant updates from across the area. And, of course, on your way home from a game, make sure you tune in to the scoreboard show. It's a great way to recap the week in high school football with all the scores and a lot of guests from people that were at the games to tell us about some of the big performers and the big moments in those contests. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on this Friday program, I've got some news and headlines, and I bet if you're thinking right, with college football opening last night, you know we're going to talk about Rondell Moore here in just a minute. He's a New Albany native, played a couple years at New Albany before transferring to Trinity, and had an outstanding night last night for the Boilermakers, even though they came up just short to Northwestern. We'll talk about him in the headline segment. We'll talk about what a big weekend it is for college visits with basketball recruits across the country as well. That makes sense. It's really the opening weekend of college football. Those games are obviously the big opportunity often to showcase a school and its environment and its student population and those sorts of things. So not to be surprised, the opening weekend of college football is also a busy weekend as far as basketball recruiting goes. We'll talk about that as well. Our headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Then later, Jared Morris in segment two will join us. Jared is with the Assembly Call. We'll talk IU basketball, and that segment with Jared each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Later in the program, we'll close things out on this Friday with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, always with us to talk basketball and football as we head into the weekend. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And I mentioned Rondell Moore would lead the way tonight. He is a native of New Albany. He was actually on the state championship basketball team and was a classmate of Romeo Langford all through the years coming up through elementary and middle school. Obviously a superb athlete. He left New Albany, went to Trinity for his final two seasons of high school football in Kentucky. Didn't get much playing time in his junior year. If my memory serves correctly, he didn't get to suit up officially for the Shamrocks until the tournament time got here, which would have been 365 days after the transfer. He went on to have a great tournament for Trinity. He obviously had a huge senior year, the best high school football player in Kentucky. Some interesting things about Rondell, and some of you will know this, but he committed to Texas after being recruited by a lot of Power 5 schools and had a lot of schools after him outside of that as well. He committed to Texas, and it looked like that would be his choice. But as we've talked about before on this program, college recruiting for football is much different than basketball. Just because you verbally commit to a school before you sign that national letter of intent, it doesn't necessarily mean, especially for a player the caliber of Rondell Moore, it doesn't necessarily mean that schools don't recruit you. Also, he may have had a change of heart. Jeff Brohm went to Trinity. Jeff Brohm is at a lot of Trinity games. I just saw him on TV. He was at their last home game, the game that was on ESPNU against Warren Central. But nonetheless, Rondell Moore takes a little different path. Some people were surprised that he would leave the opportunity to get a scholarship at a Power 5 program like Texas and go to Purdue of the Big Ten Conference, who really for the last 15, 20 years hasn't been a threat at all in Big Ten Conference football. But it should have become clear, if it didn't, last night. I know a lot of people tuned in for that Purdue-Northwestern game. A lot of college football fans that may never watch any of those teams again this season, but just wanted to see the season get underway and have been missing college football for the last 7 or so months. A lot of people tuned in last night, and a lot of people got a look at Rondell Moore. Obviously, the Boilermakers will face much tougher defenses than what Northwestern put out there last night, and Northwestern would go on to hold on and win a game that was a very good finish to that contest. But it's clear that Rondell Moore is going to be the chief option for Jeff Brohm's Boilermakers. Last night, he set a school record, his first game as a freshman, going against a Big Ten Conference opponent, 313 all-purpose yards, a new record for a player at Purdue, let alone a freshman playing his first game. He had an unbelievable first quarter, a really good second quarter, so strong first half. Second half wasn't nearly as good, but nonetheless, what a way for Rondell Moore to burst on the scene in college football. Small, but very strong, very agile. Some of the highlights, and I saw the clip of the one big run, just amazing footwork that he's able to juke those right past those guys. Just amazing. He obviously will be a thorn in the side of Indiana. I think you can say that for the next number of years. Greg Doyle had a great column this morning about Purdue football. I don't know that they're going to get it done this season. I don't know that they're going to be great this season. I don't know that they're going to win a lot of games this season. But with Jeff Brohm, with Rondell Moore, players like that, athletes like that, obviously they are in a recruiting class that is strong behind these guys, I should say. There's no question that they are going to be somebody very formidable in the Big Ten Conference, if not later this season, definitely in future seasons as well. Big Ten football, Indiana plays on Saturday. That's the game of interest at Florida International. A lot of people think it's a dangerous game for Indiana. Don't forget when Indiana went down to Miami a couple of seasons ago, at the end of the first quarter, Florida International led 13-12 over Indiana. That would remain the final score in the game 2 years ago, as Indiana would go on to play much better in the third and fourth periods to clinch the win, to get the victory to start the season. But definitely for IU, it's one of those tricky games. It's on the road. No question about it. There are some things to kind of watch with ease, maybe, to see how things play out for this Indiana team. And, of course, quarterback Peyton Ramsey getting the start. So really interesting to see what IU football can do in this game. I think we'll have a good read for what the first 2-3 weeks of football could look like for Indiana before they get to Big Ten Conference opponents, based on how this thing goes. Obviously, they'll get better, they'll change, they'll make adjustments as the season goes on. But this is one of those games on the road. I think Indiana's about a 10-point favorite the last I looked. This is one of those games on the road that is a tricky contest and a very difficult way to open up the season. Florida International, this is obviously a huge game for then. Other Big Ten football, a lot of action last night. Minnesota was in action last night. Of course, there'll be some other games, all the teams basically in action this week. Michigan State will be in action later today, ranked number 11. They play Utah State. Also, Wisconsin in action tonight. They play Western Kentucky. That will be an interesting contest. And Ohio State, a lot of things surrounding that program there off the field right now. They take on Oregon State over the weekend. Maryland takes on a tough Texas team this weekend. And Illinois takes on Kent State. Rutgers against Texas State to open their season, and Penn State taking on Appalachian State to open up their season, and I think Iowa takes on Northern Illinois. So a lot of Big Ten teams, all the Big Ten teams basically in action. Of course, I left off the biggest game involving a Big Ten team this weekend, Michigan, number 14 in the country, at number 12 ranked Notre Dame this weekend as well. That will be a great one, and obviously one of the big games in addition to Alabama-Louisville and a few others that people are looking forward on a national type level to kick off the college football season. Also, I should say college basketball recruiting continues. Yes, football is the dominant headline for now, but this is a big recruiting weekend in a couple different regards, and I think sometimes we forget that college football games for Indiana and for Indiana's opponents in the recruiting game are a big opportunity for schools, whether it's on an unofficial basis or an official visit basis, to showcase the campus, the school, what student life is like at Indiana or the other schools, again, that have similar targets to Indiana. And this is also a big weekend because it's the first weekend of college football, and it's also the weekend that Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks will get their recruiting underway as far as taking official visits go. They are both going out to UCLA to witness the start of Chip Kelly as the football coach on the gridiron for UCLA. I don't know that I would consider UCLA a legitimate threat for Trace Jackson Davis just based on everything we read and that we hear, but I do think that UCLA could be a player for Keon Brooks more so than Trace Jackson Davis. It's interesting, as we talked some about yesterday, that these guys are both taking their visits together. Not all of them, but they're going to be at least at a handful of their five official visits at the campus at the same time. I have no idea if they travel out together, they meet up and hang out a lot outside of some of the campus activities that go on, where they obviously would be together at the football game and during some of the tours of the facilities and other things, I would assume. But definitely a big recruiting weekend for basketball, because those guys are the two big names in Indiana recruiting, and they are going to UCLA this weekend for their first official visit. Purdue has a big weekend as well. Armaan Franklin, who we've had on this program, it sure looks like he's basically down to Purdue and Indiana. He's going to take a visit there this weekend. Brandon Newman will also be there this weekend. His recruitment is not near as far along, it appears, as Armaan Franklin, but those are both guys that Indiana both very involved with as well. So we'll see after Armaan has had a chance to look at Indiana, and he'll have a chance to visit Purdue. He's obviously been to both schools a number of times. After this official visit, we'll see if he's ready to make his decision, and if so, who it will be. The final three, Purdue, Indiana, Xavier. But again, there's the thought that Purdue might be the leader. Indiana might have a chance. Xavier was once thought to be the leader for Armaan Franklin, but that is kind of up in the air. I don't know that people feel Xavier has the same end that they do with Armaan Franklin that maybe they had some months, some weeks ago. So big recruiting weekend for basketball as well, even though football takes the cake, obviously, with the season opening games last night all the way through Saturday, even a couple on Sunday, I believe, this week. Week three of high school football should be a good one. Love to see the local teams hook up. Providence and Silver Creek will do that tonight. That should be a good one. I mentioned that's one of our feature games. Also, a feature game is Bedford North Lawrence at Jeffersonville. That's a Hoosier Hills Conference game. That'll tell us a lot, not just about Jeffersonville, but about the Hoosier Hills Conference as well, because Columbus East, a little rocky start. They're 0-2. They lost to Whiteland, which is a surprise. They lost to a always strong Columbus North rival in Columbus last week, and people beginning to wonder, could this be the year that Columbus North doesn't finish atop the Hoosier Hills Conference? New Albany is surging. They've looked good in their first 2 weeks of play. Bedford North Lawrence is thought to be a tough team as well. Floyd Central's not bad. They will take on Madison tonight, a bottom dweller in the conference. They should have a chance to get an easy victory tonight. But I think Bedford and Jeff is a pretty good matchup. We'll learn more about Bedford. We'll learn more about Jeff. We'll learn more about maybe what to expect in some of the weeks going forward as far as the Hoosier Hills Conference goes. Also, other games tonight, Charlestown is at Clarksville. Should be an easy one for the Pirates. Madison at Floyd Central. I mentioned that game. The Highlanders, the big favorite there. And Lexington Sayre at Rock Creek tonight. Again, Rock Creek looking far and wide for opponents in their like-minded opponents, similar opponents in their first year of official IHSAA football. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing, after this on a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is my guest each Friday in this segment. We talk IU basketball primarily, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once the kids are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Jared, we'll start with football for just a moment. I know you're obviously a diehard IU basketball fan. You do a great job covering the Hoosiers through the audio content on Assembly Call. What do you do for the football games? Do you watch them? Do you follow them intently, or are you a football fan supporter at all?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely a football fan. Heck, my love for the Hoosiers started out with the football program, and my dad was coaching there in the 80s under Bill Mallory. So I've always had a soft spot for IU football and always supported the program. So yeah, I watch as many of the games as I can. Definitely follow them if I can't watch them. And you know, and I'm excited about this season. I think, you know, cautiously optimistic. I mean, I think the team has a lot of productive players on both sides of the ball from last year they have to replace. You know, obviously it's never great when you go into a season with questions around the quarterback situation. You know, the best IU teams have always seemed to be the ones that entered the season, you know, feeling really good about the quarterback spot. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. But you know, in terms of the man who is leading the program and Tom Allen, I mean, I think he's a guy that all IU fans can really get behind and feel like he sets the right tone and stands for the right things. And so I'm really, really hoping that he's successful and that the team has a good season this year.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, it's an interesting matchup to start the season. Anytime you go on the road, Florida International, not a great team, but a dangerous team, I would say, that's capable of playing well and capable of maybe challenging at times. And again, you're not at home. You're on the road for that first week. You're down in Miami of all places. I'm sure there are plenty of distractions and things there, but it's a tricky one for Indiana. And I would like to know who in the world has said okay to going there two times in 3 years now to open up the season. I'm not sure I would want that challenge if I was the head coach at IU football.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, it is a challenge, but if you can go down there and get a win, it can be really, really beneficial. And I think, you know, Florida International will present a challenge. I don't know too much about them, but I do know that Indiana's favored by 9 or 10 points. You know, so I think it's a winnable game. And as always, in these types of games for Indiana, it's about, you know, you're probably going to have more talent. And so it's about doing the little things right, not making the big mistake, you know, being the team that gets the big turnover, not the one that commits it. And I think if Indiana can do those things and allow the talent to win out over 60 minutes, they'll have a good chance. You know, the unfortunate part is sometimes in these games, we see Indiana shoot itself in the foot and kind of have, you know, unforced errors, unforced penalties that then allow a less talented team to hang around. And you know, look, if you make it a 60-minute game, anybody can win there at the end. So, you know, I think for Indiana, just, you know, doing those little things right and really just going out and executing the game plan, which sounds like, you know, the greatest coaching cliche ever. But in a game like this, that's really what you need to do and try to avoid those distractions, avoid any uncomfortability that you may feel being on the road. And if you can do that and if you can get off to a 1-0 start, you know, that's really important. And like the way that this schedule lays out, it's so important for Indiana to get off to a good start so that, you know, you're not playing behind the eight ball early in September, by mid-September, because that's when Indiana seasons really, you know, kind of seem to go off the rails or you start to lose some of the support and the enthusiasm. Because you know that once Big Ten play starts with the kind of teams you're going to face, you know, in the division that Indiana's in, there are going to be some losses coming. You just know that's going to happen. So you really got to try and stack up as many wins here in games where the talent is even or you're better as you can.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is our guest. This segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Let's jump into some basketball stuff. That's what we do best with you each week here on the show. I always enjoy getting, reading, and talking about, especially in this slower time for basketball, the preseason publications that are out there. And yesterday I mentioned Lindy's has Indiana ranked number 25th. They predict Romeo Langford as the newcomer of the year in the Big Ten Conference and so forth and so on. One of the things I did not mention, and I caught some hell for this, is that they had Juwan Morgan as the number 106th player in college basketball out of the top 150 that they rank. Now, I always preface and mention during these preseason publication recaps that, you know, this is just something to get you excited about the season. If the magazine and Lindy's is out, if it came out this week, the work, the publication, the copy probably was done more than a month and a half ago, I would guess, but production-wise, to get the magazine printed and those kind of things. So it doesn't mean anything, no matter what they think or predict or rank or conference standings or Romeo, if they think he's going to be the best or the worst. It's just it's a guess, a real early guess, but it is fun to talk about. It is fun to read to kind of get prepared for the upcoming season. One thing that's way off base, though, is Juwan Morgan. I don't know how in the world they got him 106 out of 150 in college basketball players.
Well, there are one of two explanations for it. Either they didn't watch any games last year, which, you know, based on some of their other predictions, I think is probably false, because I think having Indiana around 25th seems fair. Having Indiana in the top four in the Big Ten, that all seems fair. You know, they obviously appreciate Romeo's game. But somehow they either didn't watch Juwan's film from last year or it was a typo and they meant that he's the 16th best player, because that would make a lot more sense and be a lot closer to reality than 106. So, you know, you're always going to have some of those things, and, you know, it's oversights like that. Hopefully someone slips that to Juwan and he can hang it up in his locker and use it as motivation, because if there are 105 better players in college basketball, I would be just flabbergasted. We all know that that's not true. The other thing is that Juwan is preseason third team All-Big Ten, which, you know, last year he was second team All-Big Ten. So I have a really hard time believing that, you know, with some of the guys who left and Juwan getting better, that he doesn't get bumped up, he gets bumped down. So, you know, I think Lindy's got some things right. That they definitely got wrong. But as you said, you know, all that really matters is once the season actually tips. And I think as long as Juwan stays healthy this year, he's going to have a fantastic season and show people that he's one of the top 20 players in the country. That's what I believe he is.
And someone there thought Juwan Morgan was special enough and good enough to feature on the cover. Maybe they thought the power of the Indiana fan base to purchase those magazines, and I'm sure that was the case there. But yeah, I was very confused by the 106 ranking by Juwan Morgan in the conference. Jared, one other thing I want to ask you about as well, as we continue on here in this segment with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call on Friday. With these conference magazines and previews out, I'm curious, where do you see Indiana at? We've talked about this before, but do you see Indiana as maybe a contender as you start to look and analyze this roster and think about the season and read the other preseason publications? Could you see Indiana as a contender for the conference if they can hang in there and be in a position to compete down the stretch?
I think Indiana's definitely a contender when you look at it early on. You know, anytime that you have the best duo in the conference, and I think Indiana does have the best duo in the conference. You know, obviously there are some other good ones. Michigan State, you know, has a good duo. Wisconsin does. But I would put Romeo and Juwan, even having not seen Romeo play in college yet, I would put them up against anybody in the conference. And so anytime you have that, and where most games are going to go in with, if not the best duo, maybe even the two best players on the court, you're going to be able to win a lot of games. Now, there are a lot of other question marks that Indiana has to answer. Is Justin Smith ready to, you know, truly be, you know, kind of a third member of a big three? Is Devontae Green ready to go a point guard? How does Evan, you know, we've been talking about these questions all offseason. So I don't by any means think that Indiana is a favorite for the conference, and I don't think it's a slam dunk that they're going to finish in the top four. But I think it seems, you know, if you kind of look at what are the most likely outcomes, to me, having Indiana in the top four seems reasonable. And then, you know, if you're in that position, then, you know, obviously there's going to be some different things that determine who wins the conference. You know, when you play people, what injuries you have, what injuries they have, all of those things can come into it and can make a difference in a game or two here or there. But at least if you're in there and if Indiana can navigate that really tricky stretch in January, you know, the schedule opens up a little bit for them late. If they're still there in contention, I like their chances down the stretch. So, again, you know, a lot of questions still have to be answered. But just when you look at the rosters, compare them, you know, kind of across the conference and project forward the growth of some of the guys, I think it's pretty reasonable to have Indiana in there, you know, among the top contenders in the conference.
Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, this segment presented each week by Coffee Crossing. Along those lines, when you look at the Big Ten Conference, and I was listening to Alex of Inside the Hall, Alex Bosich, and your conversation with John Gassaway of the of ESPN on podcast The Brink, which can be found at assemblycall.com, I do believe. But I listened to that. He had an interesting take on how he sizes up the Big Ten Conference this year as far as kind of grouping them together in thirds. There really are three different, and he made some good points, there really are three different categories, I think, of Big Ten Conference men's basketball teams for this season.
Yeah, and the way that he looked at it was that, you know, your top four is Indiana, Michigan State, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And then you've kind of got everybody else, and then you've got, I think you had Rutgers and Minnesota, you know, kind of down there at the bottom. And, you know, what's interesting about Minnesota is they've got a pretty good duo, too, in Amir Coffey and Jordan Murphy. Now, I don't know what they have to fill in around there, and I don't think anybody in our region is too confident in what Richard Pitino can do as a coach, but, you know, they still got some talent, and I think that kind of speaks to, and John talked about this, the bottom of the conference getting better. You know, yeah, you know, you look at that final game on Indiana's schedule with home against Rutgers, and you kind of chalk that up as, okay, we're going to be able to get a win there. But Rutgers is better. I mean, Rutgers took Indiana to the woodshed in the Big Ten tournament last year, and they're a program that seems to have more direction now. And so, you know, those tiers seem to make sense to me, but I think the overall, it seems like there's a lot more kind of balance top to bottom and no real breathers. I mean, you know, I remember growing up, you know, Wisconsin and Northwestern, you just kind of chalk those up as victories. And those are obviously programs that have really improved a lot over the past few decades. And so I think that's going to make the Big Ten really interesting. And then what will kind of be the next step is, you know, what great teams emerge? You know, does Michigan State's talent coalesce into a national title type contender? Is Wisconsin ready to, you know, jump back up into being a top 10, top 15 team? Is Indiana ready to do that? So, you know, those things are all going to be really interesting to watch. And I think while the Big Ten still has a talent issue and the Big Ten still isn't getting enough McDonald's All-Americans and getting enough of those top flight players to consistently have top five, top 10 teams, I do think it's getting better. And I think overall conference play will be more fun this year because I just think every night out, you've got a really good chance to have a competitive game no matter where you look on the schedule.
Staying along Big Ten Conference lines right now, when you look at the upcoming season, obviously I think it's safe to say Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford from an Indiana perspective take the cake on top players, favorite players, most intriguing players on the Indiana roster. But when you look at the conference as a whole, Carson Edwards, Ethan Happ, who is your preseason favorite returning player to Big Ten Conference basketball?
You know, I think obviously you look at those two guys. I think the two guys that I am most confident in what they will do this year are Ethan Happ and Juwan Morgan. And the reason why I say that is because those are two guys who are not going to really be changing roles. You know, they hopefully the teams around them will be better, but what is being asked of them is not going to be radically different than what we saw last year, and we've seen them excel in that role. You know, a guy like Carson Edwards, he had a really high usage rate last year, but he was also surrounded by a lot of talented, experienced players. And so I think he'll have a very good season. He's a very good player. But there's going to be a lot more pressure on him and not as many proven guys around him to take that pressure off. How does he respond to that? You know, Charles Matthews is stepping up in the pecking order at Michigan. How does he respond to that? And so, you know, same with a guy like Cassius Winston at Michigan State. So I think they're all really good players. But as you kind of project forward in the season, you feel the safest about a guy who's going to be playing a similar role to what he was playing. And if you see the talent around him being better, you should expect more opportunities for that guy to be fresher, you know, to not have as much defensive attention around him. So that's why, to me, Happ and Morgan, I feel safest knowing what to expect from those guys. But still, some of those other guys you mentioned, you know, certainly will compete for first-team All-Big Ten honors as well.
Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, he is with us talking IU basketball on Fridays. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. When you're looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company. That's 410 Bakery and Cafe. Great coffee, great bread and pastries, now serving lunch and breakfast at the 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Jared, thanks for the chat. Always good stuff. Enjoy the IU football game this weekend, and we'll get back into some more basketball stuff next Friday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Matt.
We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star in the next segment. Also tonight, Kentuckiana Football Fridays on the Big X. Complete coverage of high school football, Silver Creek Providence, Jeff Bedford. Those are our feature games tonight, but we'll have scores and updates from across the area on all the top games. Join me for the kickoff show starting at 6 o'clock tonight. We've got 5-plus hours of local football coverage coming your way tonight on the Big X. Back with more Kyle Nedrip after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday show. Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star, our guest. And Kyle, last night, Rondell Moore of Purdue, of New Albany, played his high school football at Trinity in Louisville. What a performance he had. An unbelievable first quarter and first half. And I think it's clear that a new star has budded for Purdue football that will be fun to watch over the next number of seasons.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That was he looked like Reggie Bush with USC out there. I mean, he's clearly explosive and fast, and you know, I'd seen him play a little bit when he was at Trinity, and you know, just kind of obviously knew that was a huge get for Purdue, but you know, seeing him in action, you know, last night, it's clear, you know, teams are going to have to plan for him, and he's going to cause all kinds of problems in a good way for Purdue and in a bad way for their opponents. But yeah, he looks ready to go. And you know, what a recruiting get, you know, for Jeff Brohm to bring him in there. And I'm sure you know more about his background than I do, Matt, but I know he was a New Albany kid and you know, I think was even close with Romeo Langford growing up. So, you know, what a duo that was as far as athletes go. But, yeah, I couldn't have been more impressed with him last night.
It's hard to imagine, had he stayed at New Albany and played football only, or as he focused more on what looks like, obviously, it's a great choice that he's done, or whether he had played basketball and football. But if he had stayed there and graduated from the 2018 class with Romeo, hard to believe a better combination in basketball and football and just athletes in general in one school, one graduating class, one community than what that would have been.
Oh, man. Yeah, unreal. You know, and obviously football is his future, and there's a lot of guards his size when you look at basketball. But yeah, what an athlete! I mean, that guy is the move he put on where he did that Walter Payton move that he, I think that's what Kirk Herbstreit called it, but to turn up field and juke that guy out on the corner there was just unreal. And just his presence, I think, on the field is going to help Purdue a lot offensively. That's a good offense anyway, and then you add him in there, and it's a shame they couldn't have won that game. Those mistakes in the first half just killed them. And, I thought their defense played a lot better as the game went on, but Northwestern just very solid, very solid program, and too bad you couldn't have got off and got some momentum early in the year, but they're going to be a handful, especially in the West division. You add a guy like Rondale Moore in that division. There aren't a lot of players like that on that side of the, they're on the opposite side of Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, and all those, not all the traditional. You got Wisconsin over in the West, and Iowa's been solid. Nebraska's traditional, strong program, but you add a guy like that, I think that's going to take them a long way offensively. And I wasn't more impressed with their defense as the game went on, but they're still going to be a headache for teams to prepare for.
Talking with Kyle Medinrip of the Indianapolis Star, Friday edition of the program, which means we're back to high school football tonight. Some great games here in southern Indiana, some great games across the state. I saw a story in the Star, more so just a listing in the Star, which was very impressive, of the number of Indiana high school graduates on FBS college football rosters in this 2018 season that's just getting started on the college level. More than 235 Indiana players from our state playing college football at a very good level, and not a bad number when you look through the schools from north to south. Of course, very, very heavy in the central part of the state, the Indianapolis area of the state, but pretty impressive numbers for a basketball state to have that many players playing at a real good level of college football.
Yeah, I always look forward to that list that Matt compiles and puts together, and I forget, you forget sometimes some of those guys who are out there playing that, I covered, or we covered obviously throughout their careers, and you kind of, because of the way the nature of our job, you kind of move on to the next guy, the next group of guys, and sometimes you forget, and there's so many guys out there playing like at MAC schools that have gone on to have great careers, or, you always remember the Big Ten types and the guys who are playing in the Power Five conferences. But, there's so many good players out there that go on, and there's just so many of them you lose track of just because, like I said, we're focused on the high school level. But, the Miami was Ohio of the world, and the Ball States, and even Indiana State is doing much, much better, keeping in-state guys at home. I don't think we tend to think of, the number of football players we produce here. And, there's a guy named Colin Miller who's out at Nebraska, and he was a defensive lineman. This is just one example, but he was a defensive lineman, defensive end at HSC. He was a good player. He was very good, but he wasn't, a guy who really popped off. You wouldn't probably remember his name. He's going to be starting tomorrow night for Nebraska at outside linebacker and in the rotation there. So it's cool to see, guys like that get a chance who, have just worked their butts off. And clearly it takes a lot of work to be a college football player, but there's a number of those guys out there. Pete Werner at Ohio State, played at Cathedral. He'll be starting at linebacker for the Buckeyes. So, just all kinds of players. That's always a fun list to go over and say, oh yeah, I remember him. And oh yeah, he was able to latch on there and became a player. So, always a neat list. I know Matt puts a lot of time into that and working on that. But I was just kind of going through here as, the new basketball rankings for, 24/7 Sports came out yesterday for their 2020 class. And I was kind of going through the in-state classes for the last decade or so and fun to reminisce on some of those names too. And remember, like the you know, the 2011 class where he had Marcus Teague and Cody Zeller and Brandon Dawson and, you know, all in the top 20, you know, and like, man, that's a, you know, not that we haven't had top level guys, but you just remembering some of those names and some of those games you covered that kind of make you reminisce on the great players.
Absolutely. Kyle Medinrip, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Speaking of basketball, a big weekend, college football, the start of the season, the home games for teams, always a big opportunity to showcase to recruits of other sports, not just basketball, but it will be a big one this weekend, and that's especially for Indiana fans, maybe on the edge of their seat a bit, because Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks begin their official visits, and they're actually going to the same place this weekend. They're going to UCLA, and it's, I guess, Chris Wilkes has kept the UCLA dream alive for a lot of players from Indiana. Obviously, Steve Alford, whether he's as well known and understood by players in Indiana today as he would have been 10 or 15 years ago, I don't know, but he obviously is going to recruit his home state hard and does have a lot of connections here that he played and coached with over the years. But one of the big things about UCLA, in addition to Wilkes actually going there, a lot of guys want to be wined and dined. A lot of guys want to see a great place, even if they're not going to go there. And LA, UCLA, obviously an attractive visit for a kid that's a senior in high school. So a lot of times, I don't want to take any credit away from Coach Alford or his staff. Obviously, UCLA is a beautiful place and a traditional place and a great program, and there's a lot of things you could say positive about UCLA. But it does often seem, especially from players from Indiana, to be in that list, to get that visit, but maybe not go on to get the commitment. And I have to believe that it's part of it is going to LA for the weekend.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's a huge part of it. And I know, you know, I remember when Chris Wilkes, you know, went out there on his visit and talking to him about it in the aftermath and even before, you know, he hadn't been out there and wanted to take a visit out there and see what it was all about. And they had been involved with him and, you know, not like they just came out of nowhere. But once he went out there, I mean, it was, you know, Chris really liked, you know, being out in L.A., you know, and being on that campus. And you know, there's nothing, you know, it's hard to you know, say otherwise if you've been out there. I mean, it's a neat place. It's different for kids from the Midwest, clearly. And, you know, I know Chris in his mind, he didn't mind getting away from home. Might have been a good thing for him in his viewpoint. And, you know, it's worked out for him. I think he's matured out there and you know, not to say he wouldn't have if he would have stayed closer to home, but I think it's been a good thing for him. And you know, it's all the individual, as you know, as you go through these recruiting processes. But yeah, especially when Ed Schilling was there, they were in here a lot. You know, and I didn't know how that would be. You know, Steve Alford is from here, but if you don't have an Ed Schilling type on your staff, would they keep connecting back here? And obviously they have. And his name, even if it doesn't carry weight necessarily with the kids now, you know, the kids' parents still know, you know, who Steve Alford was. And I'm sure that's something that works in his favor. You know, so I would imagine they'll continue, you know, anytime you can get in on, you know, two top 15 kids in the country, who are from Indiana, you're going to use every advantage you possibly can. And, you know, UCLA has had some success here and they've recruited this area pretty hard, considering where they're at in the country. So, you know, I'll be interested to hear how those visits go and if they did make an impression. I don't think UCLA is necessarily on the top of their list, you know, as they go out there. But I don't know if they were for Chris Wilkes either. And after his visit, he felt differently. So you never know. I mean, if you've got to feel like if you're UCLA, if you can get a kid out there, get him on campus, it's going to make an impression on him. And I know it did for Chris, and not to say that it'll happen in this case, but it can't hurt, that's for sure.
It's going to be interesting to see once both Keon and Trace complete their visits, how far they take this. You know, Romeo at the very top level of things in his class, let it play out, wanted to see exactly where things stood with each of the schools that he was considering there at the very end. There's that school of thought, if you think you're going to be a one-and-done type player, that Maybe you need to stretch it out. Maybe you need to see exactly all the details, as much as you can possibly know, as late as you can possibly know it before you make that decision. There's also a school of thought that if you're a really good player and you're ranked nationally and you aren't sure you're going to be a one-and-done type talent, that you go ahead and get it done. If you know where you want to go, you think you know where you want to go, make that commitment, get it done before your high school senior season gets here. That way the full focus can be on enjoying and competing for a state championship in your final go-around. It's going to be interesting to see what angle, what direction Keon and Trace take after their visits wrap up later this fall.
Yeah, and I can go both ways on that. I think, you know, ideally, I think these kids would like to have it done, you know, before their senior season starts. You know, and talking to kids over the last decade or so, that's how a lot of them feel, if they have the options there. You know, get it over with, get your paperwork done, and then you can kind of enjoy your senior year and when worry about your high school team and you know what all goes with that, trying to win a state championship or Mr. Basketball or whatever the case may be. But if you're, I can also understand if you're in a position like Romeo Lankford was, you know, schools are going to wait. It's not like they're going to fill their class up and you're not going to have a spot available. So, and I think that's somewhat similar for Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks. You know, those are top 20 kids who, you know, there's going to be a spot for them. You know, they're going to be able to, and also in Romeo's case, you can kind of, it's all sort of weeded out for you. By the time you get to the spring, you can kind of see what those rosters look like. You have a chance to watch, you know, he could watch IU play under Archie Miller for a year and get a better sense of how they operate. So, you know, from that standpoint, it makes a lot of sense, really, I mean, to wait. So, you know, I would prefer, you know, to see a kid decide earlier just because I think that allows them to get a lot off their plate, off their mind, you know, as they go into their senior year. But if you can handle it and if you're in a position like Romeo Lankford was and like these two guys are this year, I could completely understand if you wanted to wait it out until the spring. I mean, that does make a lot of sense. And maybe a guy who's farther down the list and is being told, hey, if you don't decide, we're moving on. Then you're in a position where you probably need to make a decision, but I can see it both ways, really. And I think after, you know, in Trace Jackson Davis' case, you know, his visit to IU in about a month for his official visit, I think it's the last weekend of September. Then I think maybe you'll have a better idea of what he's going to do. But it depends how these visits go and kind of, you know, how recruiting works. It's fairly, you know, it changes week to week sometimes. So still a lot of time left for both those guys.
Kyle, one final question for you, and I told somebody I would ask you this. David Bell, Warren Central, we are familiar with him from a basketball side of things. He was just on ESPNU Friday night as his team, another miraculous come-from-behind performance and a wild finish at Louisville Trinity. Do you have a read on his recruiting? I know we talked about some about that last week heading into the big game on ESPN, but do you have a read on his recruiting and maybe who the favorite is?
You know, I would say, you know, in my mind, I think Penn State is right up there. I think Purdue is right up there, you know, and I know that may sound crazy, but, you know, I know from talking to him that, you know, Purdue has made an impression on him. The way they play has made an impression on him. But the other, he's got five in his official list of finalists, and, you know, IU's in there as well. Ohio State's in there. Iowa's in there. And all, you know, those schools have had success, you know, coming in from outside, Iowa especially recently. So, you know, I think he's going to consider all five of those. But, you know, if I was kind of gauging it, that Penn State and Purdue, I think, have made an impression on him, you know, in the way they play and how they use their receivers. But I think it'll play out a little bit more. And again, he's in a pretty good position too, where he doesn't have to just completely rush it and just make a commitment. So I think when he makes a commitment, knowing David, he's going to want to make that an official commitment and not, you know, have a decommitment, recommitment type of situation. So, you know, I think he's kind of waiting here and seeing what, you know, maybe how some of these teams look early in the season. But I, you know, if I was guessing, I'd say those two maybe have emerged a little bit, but I don't think he's knocked any of those top five out of consideration.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, with us Fridays. Always fun to talk basketball, football, recruiting, whatever it may be. Kyle, enjoy week three of high school football tonight. We'll look for your coverage in the Indy Star on Saturday, and great to catch up.
Okay, thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, always a great voice on the program each Friday. That's going to wrap things up for our Friday show. Again, don't forget, Kentuckiana Football Fridays begins at 6 o'clock tonight on the Big X. Also on 93.9 The Ville at 6 o'clock, we have the kickoff show. It's a great way on your way home from work to get ready for week three of football. We'll be joined by John Spears, the voice of St. X football in Louisville. He helps us run down through the big Metro Louisville games each week. We'll also talk with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, about all the games on this side of the river. And Kent Taylor of Wave 3 Sports will be with me as well. Again, that's the kickoff show on the Big X on 93.9 The Ville. Then at 7 o'clock, we've got two feature games tonight, Silver Creek and Providence. That's one we'll be keeping a very close eye on. We also have a crew at Jeffersonville hosting Bedford North Lawrence tonight. We'll go back and forth between those games. I'll be in studio with score updates. We'll have call-in reports from the New Albany game, from the Charlestown game, from some of the other contests across the area tonight as well. Then, when all the scores are final, back on the Big X, back on 93.9 The Ville, we've got the scoreboard show with scores and highlights. We'll have top performers. We'll talk with coaches, media members, and more to wrap up week three of high school football. I hope you can join me tonight, whether you're at a game, not at a game. It's a great way to follow everything going on in the area covering high school football like it's never been done before. Don't forget, if you miss an edition of the Hoosier Report, they are all available by podcast. You can find them on SoundCloud. You can find them on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Just go to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. On Apple Podcast, it's real easy. Just open it up, search the Hoosier Report. If you would, leave us a rating and a review so we can reach others that might be interested in a podcast about IU sports and Southern Indiana sports. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with you Monday at 11 o'clock for the Hoosier Report. In fact, we'll be back every day next week at 11 a.m. right here on the Big X. Until tonight at 6 o'clock for Kentuckiana Football Fridays, have a great weekend, have a great Friday, and we'll be back tonight for 5-plus hours of local coverage following high school football on both sides of the river here on the Big X. Again, that all starts at 6 o'clock tonight, Kentuckiana Football Fridays. Until then, Matt Dennison saying have a great day, a great weekend, everybody.